This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. There are more than 20 places in the United States named Milton. They range from a small 200-person town in North Carolina to a large suburb of Boston. A new experimental theater project looks at what five of these places tell us about what it means to be an American. Artists traveled the country interviewing residents in Wisconsin, North Carolina, Massachusetts, Louisiana, and Oregon to find out what Miltonians think about where they live and how they see themselves in the larger world. Milton makes its world premiere in North Carolina next weekend, but we'll preview it today. And we want to hear your stories. If you're a resident of Milton or have a story about Milton that you want to share, give us a call at 1-877-962-9862. Joining us first is the co-creator and director of the play, Katie Pearl. Welcome, Katie.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
So, Katie, tell us about how the idea for this project came about.
Sure. So my company is called Pearl D'Amour. I share it with a collaborator of mine named Lisa D'Amour. And our projects, which tend to be fairly unusual, always begin with questions that we have, and then we create the performance to investigate and answer that question. So several years ago, we kind of looked around and realized that we make our work mostly in big cities for audiences who are fairly similar to ourselves. And this was during an election cycle when the term American gets thrown around a lot. Good American, bad American, you are an American. And we just started to wonder, well, what is our relationship to that term? And what does that actually mean? This is such a huge country. So we thought we should go out into the country to places we'd never have reason to go to, talk to people we'd never have reason to meet, see what we could learn about them, about ourselves, about that term, and see what kind of performance could grow out of those experiences.
But you could have chosen any town name,
yeah,
anything, and you chose Milton. Why did Milton stick out?
Well, you know, we did what people do nowadays. We got onto Google. And we said, this is a huge question, so how are we going to frame this question? Let's go onto Google and look up the most commonly named cities, see what's out there. And Milton was actually in the top 20. And it was a name that really woke up our imaginations. It sounded like a person, and as theater artists, that seemed like it had some great possibilities. I had a great uncle, Milton. So it was really just kind of a whim and an instinct. And then we looked at where all the Miltons were on the map, and we knew we wanted to get a big spread across the country, different demographics, different sizes, different locations, and that's how we ended up choosing the ones we chose.
You can see photos of all five Miltons on our website, stateofthings.org. So you descend on these five Milton towns, Katie, and who do you interview, and what do you ask them?
Right. So we find people in a variety of ways. Sometimes we simply go to the town's website and email and cold call people. In Milton, North Carolina, my collaborator Lisa drove into town and just went to some church services and met people that way, and then sat down with the first group of people. And once you talk to one person, it starts unfolding like doors. Doors open. You should talk to this person. You should talk to that person. And we came up with four questions that we structure our conversations around. And the four questions range from the very practical to the very philosophical. Do you want to hear what they are?
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
So the first question is, how did you get to Milton? Which often leads to an entire hour's worth of conversation and great stories. The next question is, if there were one thing you could change about the world, what would it be? The next question is, what is your advice for future generations? And then the final question is, why do you think we are here on this earth?
So these are not like, what's your favorite color?
Right.
These are big questions.
Yeah. And often when we ask them, people say like, whoa,
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. You don't want me to answer those, or I don't have answers to those. But once we start with the first one, which is really just your own experience of how you ended up where you live, often the conversations lead to the other questions, and people have answered with such thoughtful and deep and surprising answers.
Well, we're joined now by two longtime residents of Milton who've been working with Katie on this project. Jean Scott has been living in Milton since 1931 and writes a column called Milton Memories for her local newspaper, the Caswell Messenger. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And Vanessa Richmond Graves is also with us. Vanessa, who goes by Twinkle, was born and raised in Milton, and her family has lived there for generations. Welcome, Twinkle.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Jean, tell us a little bit about the history of Milton, North Carolina.
Well, there's a long history of Milton, North Carolina. On October 17th, 1728, William Byrd crossed the Dan River at Milton. The story is that hospitality was so warm because Milton was there then that he stayed for 6 weeks and was way behind schedule. So he told his men, we'll strike a line due west. And if you look at the North Carolina-Virginia state border, it's a due west, east-west line.
Wow.
The town was there already. By 1830, there was the boom era. But in the, before that, the Dan River was like I-40 now. It was a main passage from the western Piedmont to the coast, and goods, produce, were shipped on bateaus, flatboats, down the river because there were no falls in the river. They could go all the way from western Piedmont to the coast, and from there around the world where they had to go. In 1800, Milton was one of the most prosperous towns in the state. By 1830s, the boom era came, and by that time there were cotton factories, flour mill was built, and they were operated by water power.
Huh.
And anyway, there were chaff factories and cotton mills and many other small businesses and enterprises around the Milton area, if not right in it. But then 1830s was the boom era, and that's when the old homes were built primarily by three families who intermarried, the Wilsons, the Walkers, and the Lewises. And Meriwether Lewis is in that lineage. Of course, Meriwether Lewis never married, so it's not a direct thing, but
and
anyway,
how have you, I want to know about the years when you were alive more than the 1800s.
Well, okay.
How did you, I'd like to know about how you've seen it change. How has Milton changed over your lifespan?
Well, I came back here when I was 5 years old from Colorado with my family, and we were children of the Depression era from 1931 and on through World War II. That was a very defining era from the Great Depression through World War II. It was the happiest little town anyway, I guess. There was a large number of children of a relatively near age group, and we met on the corner, which was the steps of the Episcopal Church.
Which is where we'll be performing the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you either lived down the street or up on the hill.
those are your options.
Yeah. Well, Milton is a crossroads. They're cross streets, and you live one or the other. It was preferable to live up on the hill because more people lived up there.
I was just going to say, the interesting thing is that you're saying that it was this idyllic little town, that this perfect little town. And what I'm getting the sense of, it kind of still is, that there is this incredibly strong allegiance towards Milton, beat the Depression era 2014.
Yeah.
It still seems like a nice place. Twinkle, your family has been in Milton for a long time. I wonder if you could also give us your perspective of how the town has changed. Tell us the story of your great-great-grandmother.
My great-grandmother was Henrietta Phelps Lawson Jeffress, and she was the midwife for Caswell County. a group of physicians got together and decided she was practicing medicine without a license, and they had a court date back in 1913. And long story short, she was acquitted of everything because the judge had everyone that, as they called her then, Aunt Henny, to stand up if she birthed you in the world. The whole courtroom stood up. So what she used was sassafras roots, probably corn liquor and things of that nature to help. But she's very famous. That was my great-grandmother. And everybody tells me I look just like her. So maybe I'm reliving her days.
Katie, tell us about how stories like Twinkles are featured in the performance mm-hmm. piece.
The performance is built as an accumulation of small details that we've encountered. And one of the things that was so meaningful to us about learning about Henrietta Jeffries is it's a great example of how intertwined the white population and the African American population has been in Milton for years and years. Henrietta Jeffries was a black woman, a black midwife, and all the people who stood up in the courtroom to support her that day were white. And so through personal stories that we hear like that, we're getting a deep, deep education about what this country has gone through over the past 100 years. And rather than choosing a few stories to tell in the play, we're letting the accumulation of these many, 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 many details come in to express the complexity of experiences in this country.
The piece combines both spoken word and song. Mm. Let's listen to a clip.
In the back room of the house was the Orchard Beauty Shop. We met Al, whose mom runs the shop at the Varsity Bowl in Wisconsin.
Blue Mountain Treasures is a pair of salt and pepper shakers from Washington State shaped like grizzly bears.
On the main street next to the bank is a house purchased out of a Sears catalog.
Across from the college, another one from Montgomery.
And the house with the window
taken from
and
the old school.
We saw a framed photo of the Obama family sitting on a table.
That's wonderful.
I think that's the first hint of the play that both Jean and Twinkle have heard just now.
Yeah, it's new to us.
We have a caller from Milton. She's calling in. Anne is calling in to talk to us about her memories of Milton. Anne?
Hi.
Hi. What do you know about Milton?
I'm learning every day. My husband and I have been here about a year and a half, and we purchased Jean Scott's grandparents' house. And so we are learning a lot of what Jean has shared with you, just more intensely. I call it the Miss Scott's living room sessions. We go in, and we also rent a shop building from her. And so we came from Savannah, Georgia. We saw the house on Craigslist, and I asked my husband if he would please discuss the transfer that they were trying to make him to North Carolina, if this house was available, and we bought it. And we moved to Milton. We didn't know a soul, and exactly as Jean and Twinkle have described to you, we've been loved, we've been embraced, just like we've been here all along, and it's just magical.
And why Milton? How did you come upon Milton?
I'm from North Carolina, and I'd never heard of Milton. That said, why Milton? It was the house. There was just a pull and just an instant love for this house that is, it's been in disrepair, and we've got a long ways to go on it, but it is truly a labor of love, and we just agreed. We said, I'm sure they're nice people, but we can go there and, you know, fix this house and just not, it just was sad. And for the best laid plans, we got here, and we're just completely embraced, and as I said, just, it was just instant love. And I love you, Twinkle, and Jean and Katie, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, and enjoy Milton.
Yes, we will. And y'all come see us and come to the play.
Great. Thank you. Katie, one of the goals of the project was to focus on community engagement, which I gather in a place like Milton can't be that hard, considering that everyone knows everyone. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that aspect of the project.
It's been really a special experience in Milton because so many people are hungry to bring the culture of the town to light and to shine some more light on their town. So this has been a real opportunity for them. And we've made some very strong partnerships that are really rich, among them being the Thomas Day House and Union Tavern Museum. These ladies can tell you more about who Thomas Day is. And many of the churches, High Street Baptist Church has been a really strong partner. And all the little businesses along Broad Street, there's one stretch of businesses, including the Milton Studio Art Gallery Aunt Millie's Pizza, the Tap and Dye, and the General Store. And all these businesses are working with us. They're staying open right up until showtime so people can come shop. And this has just been a really great opportunity to figure out ways that culture and cultural events can both bring the town together, create some energy within the town, and also bring people to the town. We had a street fair a couple weeks ago that was the first annual Milton Street Fair, and craftspeople came and vendors came, and we already have the date set for next year, and that will go on without Pearl DeMoor's presence, which has been important to us, that we can instigate and be a catalyst, but then it's the town that really is taking things over.
I'm speaking about Milton, a new experimental theater project that features Milton, North Carolina. You're listening to The State of Things. Twinkle, what was that street fair like? I hear it was a big event.
It was awesome. that Friday we opened up and we saw more foot traffic on a Friday, which is kind of dull, than ever. And then that Saturday, I actually had to go to a conference in Asheboro, and I kind of flew down the road to get back home. And you couldn't find a parking space anywhere. That was just great. And then when I finally found a parking space and started walking and meeting all these extra people, and this was at 5 o'clock and they were still coming in, it was great. Sunday was even better. To see that many people come to Milton and to like what Milton had just warmed my heart.
Jean, how has this project affected the town?
You know, I think it has been a really unifying, for a better word. Everybody has come together on it, and Katie and Lisa have done a great job of going out to meet everybody. Everybody. I don't think there's anybody in Milton that has not met them personally, and because there are only 180 of us anyway, it's very small. But I don't think that they have missed interviewing or knowing anybody in town. And so there has been so much enthusiasm for everybody because it's such a joint effort of the Thomas Day House, the Woman's Club, the Beautification Society, and the little merchants in town, and others that have just been interested. I'm like Twinkle, it has warmed my heart. But I want to say one more thing. The five Scott babies, my husband and his siblings, were delivered by Twinkle's grandmother.
Henrietta.
All
Jeffrey.
Five of them.
Yeah, Henrietta.
So basically everyone in Milton is connected to each other by seven different ways. There's no escaping it.
Yes. And if you mention one person's name, somebody can say, oh, yes, I know them. They do so-and-so-and-so. So.
Katie, quickly, what are your hopes for the impact of this play, and how will it change? Because it will as it travels around the country.
Yeah. In Milton, North Carolina specifically, I think our hopes are that the seeds that have been planted will really grow to fruition, and that the Danville Regional Foundation gave us a grant in part to continue working with the town to build some capacity and some knowledge around how to continue presenting cultural events. So we really hope that the seeds planted with this project will continue to bring people to Milton and life to Milton. But in a larger sense, I think we're really hoping that the plays provide people a means and a framework for a conversation that people are hungry to have and don't often have the opportunity to have.
Well, longtime Milton resident Vanessa Richmond Graves, also known as Twinkle, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Jean Scott writes a column for the Caswell Messenger called Milton Memories. Thank you, Jean. And Katie Pearl is the co-artistic director of Pearl DeMoor Theater Company. She also co-created and directed the new performance project, Milton. Thank you, Katie.
It was a pleasure.
Milton will be performed August 8th through 10th at the Milton Women's Club in Milton, North Carolina. You can find out more on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of the Rosebuds.